You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On tonight's episode, Steve takes back Earth, Kev takes back Borderlands bashing, and John takes on Capcom. Episode 17, Paragon, Renegade, I'm the guy with the gun.
Good evening, or morning, or afternoon, or whatever. You are listening to Blast Processing, the officially unofficial podcast of Ed. We did all this before.
You're
listening to. You clicked on the link. If you didn't click on the link, what the hell are you doing listening to this show? Huh? Why would you like just listen to this blindly? If you clicked and you're listening, you know what you're listening to. You're listening to Blast Processing, which is a podcast where we rap about video games and bitch about the news.
That was a really mean opening.
I'm in a bad mood. I'm angry.
This is like second album, Dennis Leary.
I am an angry man this evening. Very angry. I am a carton full of hate.
Why are you angry, Steve? Oh, I just gave you a setup and you don't have a punchline, do you?
We're not I'm angry because you gave me a setup. I'm angry because you gave me a setup and I don't have a punchline.
I'm angry because we had to switch locations to Blast Cave 2.
We are in parts unknown. We've got our jerry can full of kerosene and our road flare in case we have to set any of the undesirables on fire. It has happened. We've got our provisions. I've got half of a double chocolate donut.
Yes, I've got some Dr. Pepper.
Kev's got Dr. Pepper. John's got Dr. Pepper.
And a fridge full of beer.
And a fridge full of beer. Hey, we're set. We're A-okay. We can stay here until at least the equinox. When is the equinox, anyway?
Huh? I don't know, man. I don't know.
People say stuff about the equinox. When is the equinox?
Dude, wasn't there a game called Equinox?
Was there?
Solstice and Equinox.
What?
Solstice and Equinox.
I remember Solstice.
That was an NES game, wasn't it?
Equinox was the SNES sequel.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Really? That's pretty clever.
It is pretty clever.
When is the equinox?
Is that in the summertime?
No, winter equinox, summer solstice.
Oh, right.
Or fall equinox, or autumn equinox. Or
you nerd.
Isn't it like the longest day of the year, or the shortest day of the year?
Isn't that a villain from Lord of the Rings?
No,
equinox.
I don't think so. Could be.
Anyway, we talk about video games. It's kind of what we do, except when we do our intro.
I fly forward on my wretched bat mount Equinox.
You must travel beneath the desk to the mystical land of Saskatoon, where you must slay the dragon Equinox.
Beast man, you boob!
I'm going to Black Bag playing Minecraft.
Oh my god. Okay, anyway. Kev, we'll start with you. What have you been playing?
Oh, hi, I'm Kev.
Yeah, you didn't introduce us.
Yeah.
Dick.
Oh, hey, with me tonight, as usual, are my erstwhile companions, my hetero life mates, Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
I can't believe you said that.
Hey, you wanted an intro, motherfucker.
Oh, this is rated R for strong language and sexual content.
I said hetero life mate. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Only one of us is wearing a scarf. But this is Kevin Ward.
My neck gets cold.
Also with me is Mr. John Mercer.
Hello.
Oh, man.
And he's Steve Power.
And I'm Steve Power. But you already knew that, didn't you? Didn't you? What have you been playing this week, Kev? Huh?
This podcast gets weirder and weirder every week. What have I been playing this week?
Well, that wasn't 2 years old.
Nothing, man. I'm the perspective guy. Okay. I'm the retro gamer. I'm still playing Borderlands.
He's
obviously
all about the 2010 nostalgia.
That's right. Still playing Borderlands. Finally took down Mothraka. And I gotta say, any of you gamers out there who've been playing Borderlands and fighting Mothraka, when you kill her, I'm assuming it's to her, and she's on the ground, man, she is huge.
Yeah?
Man, huge. A lot bigger than I thought.
So it was definitely like a perspective thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was a There wasn't anything left of her when I killed her because my sniper rifle set her on fire.
Nice, nice. I ended up doing it by hiding out in the vehicle spawn location right next to it. And so, because it had a roof on it, she couldn't bomb the crap out of me. Yeah. Right? So she'd take a couple of shots. I'd huddle down in there, scared shitless, because there's flames coming from everywhere. But luckily, not taking any damage. I'd go out, fire off a few pot shots to get her to come back, and then dive back in again. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I had to get her down.
You're playing as Roland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner?
Roland the,
Big Black Machine Gunner.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not the Headless Thompson Gunner.
The football player. I don't know what you're talking about.
When she comes down, swoops in to attack, can you...
Uncultured swine.
Will his turret actually do damage to her? His special attack?
No, because she's up too high.
She's up too high, okay.
Yeah, I've tried it, unfortunately. And even the missiles, I don't think the missiles hit her, because I got missiles on her as well.
Yeah. So basically, the only special attack in the game that can damage her is the snipers.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
The hawk.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I've been playing Borderlands. I also finally finished The Darkness.
Ooh.
We're going back even further now. I think that's 2007, 2008.
Darkness was 2007.
Yeah, 2007.
It was like a summer 2007.
Yeah, and the last time I played it was probably 2009. But I decided not to restart. I just picked up where I left off and finished it up. Man, that's such a cool game.
I really dug that game, actually.
I dig the story. I dig the characters, the setting. You know, the only thing I don't dig is how slow he walks. Holy moly. There's no run feature. Because...
Well, you know, in reality, you're not going to be running around like you're on a skateboard anyway.
No, that's true, but they're constantly sending you to far-flung locations where you got to cross, you know, a whole bunch of streets.
Yeah.
And they keep making you having to crisscross, so you keep having to go back, right?
Yep.
And, I mean, there's nobody around anyway. No, up top. No pedestrians. They're all down in the subway. Most of them, anyway.
I went back and played it a few weeks ago. We talked about it, I know. But that was one thing I never really had a problem with.
No?
Me. No. I don't know what it is, but it just didn't bother me. It just, you know, I soaked it up a lot.
I soaked it up a lot,
you know?
I found it really hard.
It was.
Actually,
when the shooting got intense, yeah, it was pretty tough.
Oh, I had a couple of spots. Man, would I died probably a dozen times on it. I was like, holy moly.
Wonder if he fights Witchblade in the sequel.
I dug it. I liked the ending. The only thing, I did find it, it's stiff. It feels stiff to me as a first-person shooter.
It's kind of a Starbreeze thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, their titles in general, I think. Like, it's just the way they deal with character animation and stuff like that, I think. It's not, you know, it's not meant to be played like Call of Duty or Rage or one of those games where
it's methodical.
Yeah, it is, and like, you kind of... You know, I find it almost adds to the realism a little bit, because you feel kind of the weight of your weapons and stuff like that.
That's,
you know?
True, actually. And, like, you know, I almost started playing it like, you know, you'd play Demon's Souls, because I knew if I walk out there, they're going to kill me.
Yeah, you're dead.
So I better think about this and do it the right way. And...
We said last week, Starbreeze did Syndicate, right?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, because I get the exact same thing from Syndicate. You know, you find yourself really measuring your
strategies. You don't just run headlong. It's not about... sidestepping and circle strafing.
Yeah,
no, it's
yeah.
You pop up from around a corner, you fire a couple shots off, and when you see Buddy go down, it's like, yeah, you know, yeah. I killed that guy.
Yeah, then you eat his heart. No. So, after finishing that, 5 minutes after the credits ended, I threw on the demo for The Darkness 2.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I won't get any spoilers now, since I just finished it.
You should have a dog in the sequel and call him The Darkness.
Oh, no. Yeah, actually, that's kind of cool. So, yeah, the Darkest 2 demo. I don't know. There was something... It still felt stiff to me. And again, you know, what you just said makes total sense now.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
A lot prettier than it was. Nothing new. Absolutely nothing new. It didn't seem... the skill tree.
Yeah, the skill tree was kind of... My thing with the Darkest 2, it didn't feel... Like, it harkened back to the other one enough?
No?
No, like, it just kind of...
It was Bioshock 2 to me, actually.
It wasn't even, like, Bioshock 2 to me, because Bioshock 2, like, the DNA was still there. The Darkness 2, like, the first Darkness, there, like, yes, there are sections where the game is extremely violent, and you get a lot of shooting going on and stuff like that, but it never really devolves into, like, just big running gun fights.
It's true, yeah.
And the Darkness 2, like, 5 minutes into that demo, you're in the middle of Times Square shooting cops, and it's just this big, gigantic land war. You know?
Now... none of that is in order, though, as well, right? Those are bits and
this
pieces.
This is true, this is true.
That could have something to do, hopefully it has something to do with it.
But even, like, the club at the beginning, you know, like, it feels like you're being attacked by 300 people.
Oh, yeah, it does.
You know,
definitely,
instead of, like, a small team of mafia hitmen, it feels like you're being attacked by 300 people.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure, for sure. And it felt weird in the club as well, because with the two girls, you know? And it's like, dude is so dedicated to Jenny, right? That's what the whole first game is all about.
Yeah, and in this one, they just turn him into a mob boss.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And I told them at
Maybe he's compensating.
That could be.
Yeah, maybe he's, you know, wallowing in it to try to...
I also really missed Kirk Acevedo as Jackie.
Oh,
is
a new voice
Duke of Faith No More still the darkness?
Yeah, Mike Patton is still the darkness. But I mean,
what are they called? Left and right? Or
yeah, that to me is inconsequential because, you know, he's so processed and he's so distorted anyway. Anybody could have done it.
Yeah.
You know?
But that kind of felt like a gimmick.
Well, Kirk Acevedo, who the only thing I know him from, like, and I knew him at the time because the darkness came out shortly thereafter, was Band of Brothers.
Oh,
he was one of the main
okay.
characters in Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
And his voice just really suited that character well.
It was perfect,
and
man.
I love those little scenes, you know, where you see him. It was done the mask loading.
Yeah.
But it was Jackie just standing in that sparse black environment.
Yeah.
Giving you backstory and exposition.
Yeah.
And he's going with the hands, the little hand gestures and stuff. I thought those scenes were absolutely
amazing. And watching those bits, to me, I found them so engaging. I found them better than some features.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I would rather watch... you know, him in that spotlight, you know, hanging out with his guns, than watching The Last Airbender.
Yeah. But, it felt like a really textured, almost like, you know, like something you'd see in a TV series or something like that. You know, like, it had this really dark, it was kind of like, not really entirely a comparison, but, you know, you read the original Crow graphic novel, which was full of all this trippy poetry and song lyrics and all this stuff, and then you see the Brandon Lee movie, and the movie was really lean, really focused, really mean kind of movie, you know?
Yeah.
And this was kind of the same. They took that comic book world, but they adapted it to the real world. You know, like a Batman Begins or X-Men kind of deal. You know, they took the darkness as a comic book and said, how would this work in the real world?
First things first,
we're going to cut out Witchblade.
Yeah, Witchblade's gone entirely. All the stupid, spiky, pointy armor and shit that he wears in the really...
And what I loved about it is it made the cover of, I think, Play magazine. I don't know if it was actually featured anywhere in the game itself. They actually got Mark Silvestri, the guy who created the darkness, to draw Jackie as he looks in the game with the trench coat.
I remember that.
The shadows and everything coming out. And it looked awesome. Because Silvestri's a great artist.
He is. It always was. But that series sucked.
That's the thing I liked about the first game, and I hope to God it's in the second game, is that because it's so sparse sometimes up top.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not in the subway, that it creates the atmosphere, right? Instead of just, like you were talking about.
Apparently there are two hubs in it.
Right.
There's Jackie's estate, his house or whatever.
Right.
And there's a mental institution.
Ooh.
But it's done in that more over-the-top comic book style. Okay. You know, like, it is more like the comics. Like, the Darkness 2 doesn't feel thematically like the first one did. You know, it doesn't have that same sense of darkness, that same sense of, like, that foreboding atmosphere. Like, you know, you almost expect every minute of the Darkness 2, you almost expect Jackie to go full-on comic book mode and... grow that goofy-looking face mask and, you know, turn green and glowy. And
no,
start,
man, the thing is, it wouldn't just grow, it would have clothes over and, like, cashier.
Clang! But, like, you know, you almost expect his eyes to start glowing and all of that kind of stuff. Like, it doesn't really feel like the first game.
I remember when that first one was announced, you know, I kind of rolled my eyes. It's like, because, I mean, the Darkness is, what, 10 years before, I think, the comic ended?
The comic came out, like, 94, 95. Like, I mean, well, it came out when I was still buying superhero rags.
Yeah, so I mean, I rolled my eyes, I was like, what? Why? You think you're going to make any money out of it? And then, they reworked the whole concept of the darkness.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then, you know, as usual with any video game, you get the internet fanboys and everything all start complaining about, oh, they took all this out of the comic.
Yeah.
This is not, right? And then the sequel, they kind of...
went back to that.
Went back to the source material, and it kind of lost that magic that made the first game work.
Mm.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about the first game, too, was it was kind of a lightning in the bottle scenario, too. Yeah. You had... you know, the only games at that time that were really out and raising eyebrows, you had Ghost Recon, you had Oblivion, and you had Dead Rising.
Yeah,
right.
You know, the next gen hadn't really arrived yet.
Yeah.
So the Darkness kind of came at a
time. First, Dead Rising or Lost Planet?
Pretty sure it was Dead Rising. No, it might have been Lost Planet. No, Lost Planet didn't make much of a dent either, right?
I'm still hung up on Blood Runs Cold.
Oh, I love Lost Planet. But when the darkness came along, there wasn't really much in that first-person shooter market there. Like, Modern Warfare hadn't come out yet,
You know kind of the vibe I got from it? This is what they were going for with, what was the game called? Condemned.
Origins or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, that. It's kind of what they were grasping for with that.
Yeah.
And with the darkness, they pulled it off.
Well, Condemned was a really kind of an impenetrable game, too, because you're playing a first-person shooter with no shooting.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people kind of were turned out there. But the darkness, like...
Check your ammo. I'm running out of rebar.
The whole thing about the darkness was you had the shooting, the action and stuff to appeal to the first-person shooter crowd. Plus, you had, for the time, what were pretty great-looking graphics.
It hasn't aged well, I gotta say.
I still didn't find it too bad. The only real issue I had going back was the lip sync.
Lip sync is really bad, and there were some textures on the folks. Like, when you're talking to Aunt Sarah, her right hand, and I kept noticing it. It didn't look like it they forgot the texture on the hand.
Yeah. Aunt Sarah wears a prosthetic.
She does?
You
are you serious?
I don't...
You guys. I mean, maybe she does. But it just looks like a model.
See, and that's something I wouldn't have picked up on.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it's been so long since I played
that. It's hard to tell who just bought a big screen TV.
Yeah. But, you know, and that'll tell you, I think The Darkness was summer 2006. I think it was.
It's copyright 2007 on the game.
No, I mean, it banned the Brawler for still fresh in your head, man.
The PlayStation 3 version came well after the 360 version.
Oh, there was a 360 version.
Right? Okay. And I played it on 360 originally.
Right.
Dude, if Band of Brothers was fresh in your head, I mean, Darkness can't be that recent.
I think it was summer 2006, man.
Okay.
I really do. And I know it was a summertime game. It wasn't a fall, like, it wasn't a big time of year game, right?
Right.
I think it actually predates the PS3, because I think the PS3 version was a launch title.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Anything else, Kev?
Well, of course, more Tiny Tower. My tower is now up to 27 floors, I think. Just got myself a Cineplex.
this week.
I bet you called it Studio 12, too, didn't you?
I haven't named it yet. I haven't even hired anybody for it yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't need it for any missions, please, but Steve? I don't want to get rid of it.
Seventh Kevin. It's going to be called.
Oh, no. That's awful. I have not been playing any other video games. Of course, we did play the board game recently.
Yeah. We did.
What was the name of it?
We don't speak of that night anymore.
Legend of
Drizzt or something?
Legend of Drizzt, yeah. Great board game, guys. Buy it.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. We were doomed from the start.
It was a good one. I liked it. Can't wait to play it again.
This time we'll have to apply a better strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all split up and got whooped.
And
yeah.
Then I attacked the dragon by myself.
No, it was 2007.
Was it?
June 2007.
Okay. Yeah, still love it, though. What a great game. Great bonus content, too, if you're into comic books. Lots of unlockable comics on it. You know, if you're into that.
If you want to go that route.
Yeah.
I spent a bit more time the week with... this is John talking, by the way.
Yeah, John, what are you playing? Jesus.
I spent a bit more time the week with Binary Domain.
Yeah.
Dig a little bit deeper into it. And if anyone hasn't been checking the Facebook page, which you should be regularly...
Definitely, yeah.
Set a little homework assignment. I want all of our listeners, if the opportunity arises, take Binary Domain for... If you're any bit of a shooter fan, take this one for a spin. You know, it's not the most polished shooter in the world. It's still pretty tight, though, and the game's just got this sense of just undeniable ambition to be something better than
it is. Characters are awesome, and the story is awesome.
Yeah.
I'll freely put that out there. The characters are great, and the story is great.
I'm having a better time with Binary Domain than I had with Gears of War 3. And I wasn't even... I know we all like to joke around about Beers of War 3 and Broskies till the end, 4-hour beer commercial.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but, you know, I enjoyed Gears of War 3 for what it was. You know, it still played like Gears. It was still pretty tight. I'm having a better time with Binary Domain.
I will easily say that I enjoy it more, but now the whole thing with me is, of course, I'm a cyberpunk whore.
Yeah. Well, same as me, and I'm absolutely loving it. You know, the boss battles are great. Even the moments, like, I was stuck in a part for a little while where I had Charlie and what's the demo chick's name?
Rachel.
Rachel. Oh, yeah, Rachel? Charlie and Rachel, my team, and we were filling up a fuel cell, a battery.
That part drove me crazy
because Charlie was dragging the thing over.
Yeah, and the guys kept blowing it up on him.
Yeah. And of course, then he'd go off in his British accent, right? And about having to do it again, and it was driving me nuts for a while. Until I realized I had a fairly decent trust level with Rachel because we just started out together.
Yeah.
So I managed to get her to when you get her to use cover fire, she starts hawking grenades and everything. So that worked. That worked out really well. But I mean, outside of that little bit of frustration, I haven't had any trouble with it at all. Yeah, great game. Boss fights are epic.
Uh-huh.
You know, that even that first section where it's just Dan and Bo going through the factory and you're being stalked by the Grand Lancer the entire time.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. And it's like seeing the guys using the factory equipment to destroy the thing.
Yeah.
Every time they hit it with something, it just keeps getting up again.
And what I love about it, you know, it's not, at first glance, like you look at it and you think, it's not a very attractive game.
No, it looks, you think it's rough, but when you look a little bit closer, it's actually pretty sleek looking.
Man, and that's the thing, like, you look at it and you're like, wow, this game looks kind of 2006.
Yeah.
And you start playing it, and then you look like, but the character models are really good. The faces are really well animated. The character animation is really good. The backgrounds look fine. Like, textures are good.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even that the game itself looks dated, because it actually looks really slick. But I think what it is the art design doesn't have that instantly flashy appeal to it.
Yeah.
It's more, you know, it's more iRobot, less Minority Report.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of a little bit on the bland side in terms of art design and stuff, but man, the game is...
And that being said, have you seen the Zara Runner yet?
I'm not sure if I did.
Somebody, one of my buddies on Facebook sent me a video clip, said, you know, I hear you like Binary Domain, you've got to check this out. It's one of the boss fights in it.
Okay.
What I got from it is the Rust crew, the team in Binary Domain, just in trying to outrun a security force, steal a van.
Yeah, I did that part.
Basically this gigantic transforming motorcycle.
Yeah, I did that.
And that, I'm told, is a boss fight for the ages.
I really want to play this game.
It's awesome, dude. Myself and John both have it.
And I love the consequence thing, which I thought was going to get savaged in reviews, works really well.
It does. It works extremely well.
And every member of the crew has their own speciality, right? Yeah. And if you keep your trust up with them high enough, I mean, like, you got Faye is picking guys off left, right, and center, you know, single shot kills with the sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And you keep it up high enough with Bo, I mean, he's mowing them down left, right, and center.
Where am I to now? I was just on a monorail.
Yeah.
And that level was intense. Was very intense.
As good as the monorail in Vanquish? The roller coaster?
Stop
everything.
It was different. And the only thing I can really compare to Vanquish is the boss fights. And even then, it's not the same because it doesn't have that same frantic pace that Vanquish has. Vanquish is just relentless. Vanquish is a 3D Contra.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas Binary Domain is more...
A 3D codename Viper.
I don't know about that even.
3D Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, there we go. 3D Rolling Thunder. Why not?
But, I want our listeners to take a spin for it because really... I think the game deserves to succeed a little bit.
It deserves to be played.
And I think if anything, given the opportunity, I think... what's the new studio? Yakuza Studios?
Yep.
I think they just renamed themselves.
Yep.
Given the opportunity, I think these guys could really turn this into something special with a sequel.
Yeah.
Tighten up what needs to be tightened.
Well, that's just it. Like, I mean, to me, nothing really has to be tightened. I mean, they could add some more...
No, I mean, like, graphically tighten it up.
Yeah, add some bloom lighting and some lens flares, yeah. You know? But it is a pretty awesome game. Anything else, Jeff?
Yeah, I just recently cracked the plastic on one I've been waiting a very, very long time for, ever since it was first announced. I've been walking around with a steel rod in my pants for this game.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. When was this announced? 2 years ago?
I don't think it was quite that long ago. I think it was like last year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Crack the plastic?
2010, maybe.
Breathe in that new carcinogenic new game smell.
That plastic smell.
I love it.
On Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Woo!
Or Street Fighter Versus Tekken. Or Street Fighter X Tekken.
Street Fighter EX Tekken plus Alpha to the third Sigma Beta Pi.
And it's kind of weird. I was looking forward to the game so much. I put it in. I started playing it. The first two rounds I played, I absolutely hated it.
Oh.
Because I am not a huge fan of tag fighters.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same.
Me neither.
But then, sure enough, that Street Fighter magic crept in.
It clicked.
Yeah, everything started to click for me. I started, you know, I really missed, because basically it looks like Street Fighter 4. With Tekken characters.
It does. It definitely does.
And they stripped out the focus system from Street Fighter 4. You know, you remember how you could use a focus attack to kind of, like, parry their attack.
I dug the focus attack, but it wasn't something that a lot of people used, I think.
No.
But a lot of our crowd, anyway. Not the online Street Fighter madmen might go crazy over it.
And, but, it does, like, Street Fighter usually has something that sets it apart from other fighting games. You know, like Street Fighter 3 had the, what do they call the parry system?
The
teching.
The tech parry, yeah.
And it just, I was playing that and it just kind of felt like just another fighter. But then I started noticing things. Unlike most tag fighters, you didn't have to knock out both characters to win a round. Knock out one of them, the round's over.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I like
it
that.
Really, like, it nice. Really strips out the monotony.
Yeah.
And they've got everything tied to the your little super bar down the bottom.
Yep.
So instead of, like, Street Fighter 4 had the one bar for your ultra combo and the other for, like, your EX moves and everything.
Revenge
bar. Everything to this, you've got this bar, this three-level power bar on the bottom. Everything is tied to that. Like, pulling off a, you can tag manually by hitting two medium attacks at the same time. But you can also tag in the middle of a combo and keep it going with your second character. And you get, like, a major bonus to damage that way, but that takes a section of your power bar. And then I started playing as the Tekken characters. And goddamn if Capcom didn't do it. They managed to get the Tekken characters in, make them feel like Tekken characters, while fitting perfectly in a Street Fighter game.
I gotta say, little of it I played, which wasn't very much, I was much more interested in the Tekken characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Like, I saw the smile on your face when Kazuya did the Mishima kick.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't notice the amount of damage you took off the bar, did you?
I didn't even look at the... No, I was too busy watching.
He's a monster. He's a goddamn monster.
And he should be. It's Kazuya Mishima. He should be a monster. Half the Tekken guys should be monsters.
Yeah. Oh, no, you haven't even seen King yet.
I haven't seen King, and I haven't really seen Heihachi.
No.
So...
And the big Bill Goldberg looking guy is a damage monster, too.
Oh, Marduk.
Marduk?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got a feeling this is going to be one that's going to... this is going to be a regular member of Fight Night.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I actually can't wait to get a Fight Night on the go again when Tony gets back and we get some Soul Calibur 5 and some Tekken Cross Street Fighter on the go.
If I had one major complaint, and this is the one thing I really thought would have made it perfect, in versus mode... I wish you'd been able to turn off the tag system.
Yeah, what's wrong with a one-on-one battle?
Yeah, you know, I can see, like, they've got the tag combos so ingrained into the fighting system. Like, it's not nearly as sloppy as Marvel vs. Capcom 3 or... Right? But, like, I hate, you know, those launch moves that tend to go spiraling up into the air, because Street Fighter's not really heavy on air combos.
Yeah. Certain characters always kind of had the benefits of them. But.
Well, I mean, I pulled off a cool one the other day with King. He's got one of his throws. He'll actually grab them out of midair and powerbomb them.
Nice.
And the launcher can, like, automatically puts him in range for that.
Right on.
And it works really well with Abel, the guy from Street Fighter 4, the French dude. Yeah. Because he's got a ton of midair grabs.
Nice. I gotta get it. I have to add it to the wall. It has to be done. Because it seems like a game I'd really enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm actually more keen to play that than I am to break out Street Fighter 4 again.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's pretty...
impressive.
We'll have Street Fighter Cross Tekken, we'll have Soul Calibur 5, and just for a lark at the end of the night, we'll break out Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
again.
Mortal Kombat's always
Mortal Kombat's great. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat's great.
It just to hear the, oh, that's wrong!
my week. Alright, I need to,
need to compose yourself?
No, I need to go off a little bit here right now. Not off on a rant or anything, but I need to,
Are you playing that goddamn RPG for iPad again?
Oh, no.
No.
What the hell was that? Did you delete it? I hope you did.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
I asked iTunes for a refund, too, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Oh, no? I got a quick question. When you purchase something on iTunes, say for your iPad,
yeah.
Like I bought a game, right?
Okay.
Can I download that onto my iPhone?
Yes.
Sweet!
Yeah, I think it's like 3 devices with the same account.
Nice!
So, you're laughing.
So, when I get an iPhone...
Yeah, no if. Look at the screen on your phone.
Oh, no, I'm getting one, like, probably the end of May. Excellent. Okay, sorry about that.
You sell iPhones in Trinity?
Oh, I don't work in Trinity anymore. No, I'm going to buy one here before I go out to Grand Mac.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's much better than Trinity.
There's a lot more there. There's a grocery store.
That doesn't sell like Kraft Dinner with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 promotions on it.
Oh, no, no. You're talking about that little store in Trouty that had cereal.
I see Ecto Cooler.
It had cereal with an Attack of the Clones promotion on it. And this,
like, what,
this was
4 years
this
after
is a couple Attack years after Attack of the Clones.
They had Chef Boyardee
episode 3.
They had Chef Boyardee cans with Sailor Moon pasta shapes. Which place had Dungeons and Dragons laundromat?
That's Grand Bank. Yeah, the D&D laundromat. Yeah.
Roll for watch cycle.
Yeah.
Saving Throw versus Clorox.
Coolest place, man.
Success for Breeze.
If I owned a laundromat and it was called the D&D laundromat because, you know, the people who owned it were initials D&D.
Were Dungeons and Dragons.
Or whatever. I would totally play up that angle.
You'd have a giant
put a big old dragon on the front of it, man.
I'm Dungeon Sullivan. This is me wife, Dragon Sullivan.
Yes. Definitely. Have game nights in the laundromat.
The machine where you buy your little packet of laundry detergent would be shaped like a beholder.
Totally, man. Come on in. Do your laundry. We'll have an encounter.
Have an encounter with our washing machines.
Yeah.
Come in. Listen.
Stay a while.
Oh, hello, my friend.
Much has changed since you lived here, my friend.
You've got the smell
peaceful.
Of the sewer.
Oh, man, when you go in, you got to register your name. Name your character.
Oh, definitely.
Fill
anyway,
out your laundry sheet.
Anyway, Steve, go ahead, Steve. We just took this off on a completely different...
It was a good tangent.
I don't know how that happened.
It was a good tangent. Okay, so... Geeks and nerds. Let's talk about geeks and nerds for a second.
Hey, man, we got a couple here.
Yeah. Geeks, people who can blend into society. Nerds, just can't. You know? Geeks are people with hobbies. Nerds are people who can't blend into society. That's the clear definition right there. But anyway, geeks and nerds, especially people of our age, people from our generation, you know, people mm-hmm. born in the late 70s or mid 70s, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. People who weren't quite...
What about the early 80s, douche?
Shut up, kid. Youngster.
Read your Superman comic book.
Yeah, you read that Superman. Anyway, you know, like, people who weren't quite into the jaded teenage years when, you know, Star Wars hit theaters in 77. You know what I'm
right.
saying, right?
Yeah, yeah,
people
yeah.
who were young enough to have that giddy sense of pure enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But all of this generation and stuff, you know, like, all these people and even, like, the generation below us have always been looking for that next big thing, you know, that next big franchise or whatever. And, you know, for a while, you know, you had Harry Potter, but that was more... The geeks felt kind of excluded, I think, from Harry Potter because too many girls were into it. You know?
This is very interesting.
Hope you're listening
Continue.
To that, Larry.
Or Twilight, you
Continue.
Know. Like, people, Twilight was more an object of ridicule in the hardcore circles, you know.
Right.
Lord of the Rings was cool and all, but the literary guys took to it more than, you know, the Star Wars fans. It was probably a little bit too...
I know where you're going with yeah. this. I know totally where you're going with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Yeah. I'm going to let you get there, yeah. and then I'm going to rebut with the Lord of the Rings.
That's fine. It's okay. But anyway, to all you people, to all you guys who were looking for that next big, you know, science fiction, fantasy, whatever, you know, like, something to fill that void in your heart that's been left by, you know, basically the death of Star Wars and Star Trek. All that, you know, all of these, you know, like, everybody wanted Avatar to be the great white hope of science fiction, and it wasn't
yeah.
really, you
yeah.
know. It's out there. It has been out there since 2007. It's not a movie. It's not a book. It's a game. It's called Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And anybody who has not played Mass Effect 3 is missing out something terrible on what is, I have to say, without any hesitation, without any, you know, sense of clever irony or anything whatsoever, the single greatest sci-fi epic to come along since the original Star Wars.
I'm not going to rebut now because you said sci-fi epic.
He shot you a pretty good one.
I'm telling you, like, seriously, if, I mean, well, everybody who's listening to this has played games, so, you know, whatever, but people who, like, tell your friends, Mass Effect, you can get it on Steam for, what, less than $10.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, Mass Effect, I mean, yeah, some of the mechanics are a little clunky because it is more an RPG than a shooter, but without Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2 and 3 don't work.
Right.
You need all three. But, you know, you go in, you create this character, you make all the decisions, and then you play Mass Effect 2. And you start to see some of these decisions kind of creep back into it. Some of the stuff you did in the first game starts to creep back in. Then you fire up Mass Effect 3. And you realize what you're looking at is a three-act sci-fi epic that has been ongoing since 2007.
Nice.
And it is flawlessly fucking executed. It is drop-dead stunning, gorgeous to behold. The first act, I mean, when I first popped in Mass Effect 2, I know we talked about it ad nauseum on the old podcast, but the opening of Mass Effect 2 was a shocker. You know, it took balls. It was like, wow, that was intense. Mass Effect 3 annihilates it. The opening scenes of Mass Effect 3 are sheer emotional gut kick, you know, absolutely stunning, beautifully executed, amazingly well executed. And then you see characters starting to pop back up. And every time one of the familiar characters comes back in, they handle it in such a perfect manner. You know, it's just like, yeah, oh, you know. And it's not just geek fodder, you know. It's not like seeing Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi for the first time. You
know?
It's,
yeah.
It is, like, it's more meaningful. Everything in it has more meaning to it. And I'm only, I'm 6.5-7 hours into ME3 so far. And some of the stuff I have seen has just been so ridiculously epic. And they nail the atmosphere, the mood, the tension throughout. You know, you're looking at this big ancient evil that eradicated all known life in the galaxy 50,000 years earlier is back and is slowly creeping its way across all the known systems.
Right, right.
So everybody is on this, you know, it's this feeling of impending doom, this how the hell are we going to win this war? You know, and I mean, it starts with Earth, and what they do to Earth in the opening scenes is devastating. It's just so emotionally devastating. Then you get to the Citadel, which is kind of like the homeworld of the Alliance, all the different alien races and stuff, and, you know, you've got your Commander Shepard there pleading with the Council to provide aid for Earth. And, I mean, they're all, you know, we'd love to help you, but we're all effed ourselves, you know? And, like, you get that, they handle it so amazingly well. Like, it's such a, like, I haven't seen another game, save maybe Metal Gear Solid 4, that really analyzes everything that came before and responds to it. You know, like, it really, you can tell that there was architecture in action here. Mm. You know, these guys, this was nothing in Mass Effect or Mass Effect 2 was thought of lightly. Nothing was a throwaway. Nothing was done for gaming's sake. You know, everything was a part of the big picture. And Mass Effect 3 is just slowly pulling all these threads together. And just even, like, the logic in it, like, the way characters think, there's nothing gamey about it other than, you know, shooting people. Like, shooting aliens or shooting robots or whatever, you know, like, it just feels like this epic sci-fi narrative. It's absolutely fantastic. It is, right now, easily by far game of the year for me. I mean, I know we're only into March, but... And, I mean, that's coming off of Kingdoms of Amalur, which I loved.
Yeah.
You know, but this is just...
So you're enjoying it? You're having a good time with it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
good time is not the word.
So can we safely say it's been a good year so far?
It's been a fan-fucking-tastic year so far.
Yeah.
And I think the year is only going to get better.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah.
I mean... In the face of Mass Effect 2 or Mass Effect 3, I'm kind of like, guys, I really wish you had gotten The Witcher out in December.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a phenomenal game. Witcher 2 was an absolutely phenomenal game. I mean, it was number 3 on my list. But I think the Xbox one's going to get swallowed by Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mass Effect 3 is going to dominate for the next 6 months, just like ME2 did. You know? And it's just everything I've seen so far. Like, the last mission I did, I'm on... a moon orbiting the Turian homeworld, and the Turians are like these.
That's Count Garrus, isn't it?
Yeah, Garrus Velkin, whatever his name is. But he like really cool looking badass characters, and I mean from the first game they were really like if you follow the mythology, they were the militaristic arm of the Alliance. They were like the soldiers, the guys with the really advanced.
They were the elites.
Yeah, they were. They had the advanced technology and all that kind of stuff. And when humans first encountered alien life and got into a pissing match with them, it was the Taurians. It was Garrus and his crew. You know, like, it was a very vicious, violent.
So is that what Sarah hated us so much?
Yeah, but then you see the moon orbiting their homeworld, and it's in the midst of this big Reaper invasion. And you show up on the moon, and you can see the planet burning in the background. Like, it just overwhelms the entire landscape. And you've got ships flying overhead constantly. You've got trenches, and it's just like, it's like some crazy scene out of World War One. And it's just so captivating. It's so, like, it sucks you in so much. And I mean, this is only like the first. I'm not even into Act One yet. I'm still doing the prologue. You know.
I hope by the end of that game, Shepard punches Harbinger in the dick.
And I was really happy because I got Ryan O'Shepard back.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, I saw the pic. I'm digging the new haircut.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a drag. The facial import didn't work, which I'll get to later on. But because apparently it has to do with characters that you've had since the original Mass Effect.
Really?
There's a glitch if you already imported into ME2 and then try to import into ME3. Apparently it runs into a few glitches.
Okay, okay.
So I had to recreate them. So what I did was I sat down with the iPad. I fired up Mass Effect 1, took a screen cap. I fired up Mass Effect 2, took a screen cap from the menus, from the squad menu, so I had a nice close-up of his face. And then I sat down with ME3 and tried to recreate him. Basically, started with the eyes, then moved to the nose, and finally got it just right. And I said, you know what?
He's got his scars pretty...
Yeah, yeah.
His face.
He looks almost perfect, man. I said, you know what? I'm going to mix up the hair. I'm going to give him a new do. He's been back on Earth for a while. He's been out of action for... a little bit, so you know, maybe he grew his hair out a little bit and got it styled a little instead of the sloppy mop he had originally.
That's pretty intense,
N7 hoodie,
man.
To wear?
What's that?
Did you buy him his N7 hoodie to wear?
Well, no, I got the N7 hoodie with the collector's edition.
Nice.
So, but I was like, and it was funny because I started over twice because I couldn't quite get the look right, and it was such a disconnect for me.
Right.
Because I'd played through, I mean, 40 hours of Mass Effect 1, 60 hours of Mass Effect 2 with this same character. And then when I fired it up in Mass Effect 3 and he didn't look quite white, he didn't look the same.
Yeah.
And I had a disconnect. I was like, man, that's not Shepard. And I had to go in and I had to make him perfect.
Man, I gotta play Mass Effect 2.
You really do.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything because I know you left the room the other night.
I did, yeah. And I really do want to play.
I still gotta finish Mass Effect 1, so I mean, I bit the bullet and watched Steve finish Mass Effect 2. And, my jaw was on the floor at how epic the end of that was.
Oh, Mass Effect 2 was incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. First act and the last act were mind-blowing. Second act, it kind of got mired a little in BioWare fetch and retrieve quests. You know,
yeah.
The whole, go here, now go here, now go here, okay, endgame time. Mm-hmm. You know? But, I mean, Mass Effect 2, not to take anything away from Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 2 was a bloody brilliant game. You know, but ME3 is just, so far, has been phenomenal. And Larry actually finished it the weekend. Larry actually put the finishing touches on it. And didn't really spoil anything for me, like, just kind of filled me in on not even really how everything went down, but like whether...
Oh, I was ready. If he started ordering anything bad, I had to cold cock him.
No, he knew I didn't want any spoilers. He basically, you know, let me know that I'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at this point right now, they'd have to really cock it up bad for me not to be satisfied, you know?
Now, we don't use that term enough, cock it up.
Cock it up. They'd have to really take a piss to, yeah. You know? But yeah,
they'd have to bring to that game something big.
I am immensely pleased with it. The other big one for me, the only other, I have two other big ones actually. Continuing with the Mass Effect theme, I did grab Mass Effect Infiltrator for iOS.
Okay.
Which is done by the same team that did the extremely awesome Dead Space game.
What was the Extraction?
Oh, nice.
Dead Space Extraction, yeah.
Yeah. Extraction was the rail shooter one.
Yeah, no, Dead Space. I think it was just Dead Space, wasn't it?
Yeah, just Dead Space.
Just Dead Space, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same guys that did Dead Space, and it's really freaking cool.
Which, by the way, guys, second best sci-fi setting to come out of this
Dead Space.
Generation.
I love
after
the
Mass
setting
Effect.
For Dead Space, man.
Yeah, Dead Space is pretty awesome.
Just after Mass Effect, Dead Space is the best.
So I mean, well, I mean, Mass Effect, you're looking at a difference in game styles and stuff, too. I mean, you can't put the mythology and stuff into Dead Space that they put into Mass Effect. Like, I could sit down at Mass Effect and open the codex and sit down for 3 hours listening to the computer narrate all the passages from the codex. It's, it's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous.
Last time I tried to do that was Star Ocean 3 on PS2 when I contemplated blowing my brains out.
I mean, what is there in Dead Space, I really, really love.
Oh, I mean, not to take anything
away from
we're not comparing Mass Effect to Dead Space.
Not to take anything away from Dead Space. Dead Space is great. But Mass Effect is just such a fully realized, you know, like, just epic sci-fi setting. And if they ever did go movies with it, there's no way it couldn't be a success. You know, like, if they stuck to what's there, which I couldn't, I couldn't see BioWare do anything otherwise.
Did you say Clint Mansell did the score for Mass Effect 3?
He did some songs in it.
Okay, I was just wondering, they didn't ask the guy who did the awesome score for the first two.
No, well, the first one was two guys. Yeah. It was Jack Wall and another guy. And then I think the second one was just Jack Wall. And now the third one is Jack Wall. And Clint Mansell did, like, the piece of music you hear in the launch trailer and the last scene of the demo when Shepard is leaving Earth. You got that somber piano piece.
Yeah.
That really freaking awesome. And the Inception horn comes in at one point. You know?
Which, no, because I'm not going to take anything away from Clint Mansell, but I hate when games do this. Like, that Prince of Persia, the Prince of Persia 2008, whatever we call it.
Yep.
Who's it did the score for that? The
Stuart Chatwood, wasn't it?
No, there's the other guy that came in, buddy.
Oh, no, that was the guy who did the Hitman game, Jesper Kidd, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Jesper Kidd. It was a weird name. Really weird name. Weirder than Jesper Kidd. Yeah, I think it's on the back of the box, actually. Just give me 1 second.
Wikipedia.org.
Inon Zor.
Oh, Inon Zor, yeah.
Inon Zor. Yeah, no, he got a whole bunch of credit for it. He only did a couple tracks for it. The rest of the score is all Stuart
Chatwood. Yeah.
Right? And, because I remember when Prince of Persia came out on PS2 and Xbox back in 2003, everyone was, like, going apeshit over how awesome this score by Stuart Chatwood was.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because Stuart Chatwood's a Canadian hero.
And was, like, one of the founding members of the Tea Party who were awesome.
Right, and a lot of our American listeners should, you know, come up through Buffalo and Niagara Falls to buy Canadian beer and Tea Party albums.
Mm-hmm.
I was really worried that with Clint Mansell on there, the guy, because Mass Effect 1 and 2 had such awesome soundtracks. That the main theme for Mass Effect is jaw-dropping, goddamn amazing.
Fantastic.
And I was really worried that with Clint Mansell on there, these guys weren't going to get the credit they deserved.
Yeah, no, I BioWare generally tends to look after their own.
Good.
And I know they're also not a contractory type of company, you know? So I think, like, with that in particular, like, this Jack Wall guy is pretty much all he's done is BioWare stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Mass Effect 3 so far, stunning, stunning, stunning narrative and, you know, gameplay achievement as far as I'm concerned.
Nice.
The iOS Mass Effect.
The iOS Mass Effect, they use the touchscreen extremely well. Probably even a little better than Dead Space did, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
I'm assuming there's not a light version.
I don't believe so. No. I didn't see one. But it wasn't ridiculously expensive. It was only like $6.99.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. It was rather cheap, and it looks gorgeous. Looks absolutely stunning. The character you play as is a really interesting character. He's pretty cool. And it is a little heavy on action so far. Like, I don't really have the whole...
Is that the guy of Free Prince voices?
No, that's Vega. Okay. He's
the movie.
Yeah. He's the one the movie's going to be based around. And that's another thing about back to 3 for a second. Apparently they didn't end a whole lot of new characters this time around. There's only, I think, 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But so far, Vega is the only new one I've encountered. He's awesome. He's absolutely fantastic. He's a great character.
Caden is back in.
He is if he lived.
If he lived?
Yeah, if he lived in the first game. He's back. Okay. But it's either him or Ashley. It's interchangeable, right?
Yeah, see, I got to replay now because the legendary Xbox death of 2009. I've got to restart Mass Effect again, and I'm thinking I might try to skip any romance in the first two games just to land any chance of Commander Megan Shepard scoring Ashley. Because you couldn't do that in the first game. Her only options were Garrus.
She could get Lyra, I believe.
Yeah, that's because Lyra's race is, like, morally corrupted.
She's not from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Yeah, but I've been holding out for Commander Megan Shepard, and And Ashley.
Okay. I don't know. Ashley's pretty straight up, man.
Yeah?
She's pretty uptight. She's pretty conservative. She's also racist against aliens.
Why you be racist against aliens?
Oh, okay. But, yeah, other than that one, and, well, iOS, Mass Effect Infiltrator, $6.99. Get it. It's worth it. It's cool. Awesome.
Okay.
And I did, upon reading online, that I don't even know when this happened. I missed it the first time around. But to me, it's extremely huge news. Dragon Age 2.
Right.
At some point or another, added in a patch the ability to turn on auto attack.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that was always my biggest bone of contention with the game. The combat did not feel like Dragon Age. I loved Origins. I mean, I played the shit out of Origins. When I sat down to... Well, I mean, I played the shit out of 2. I finished 2.
Yeah, it was like stepping from Knights of the Old Republic to Jade Empire.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, the real-time combat just pissed me off because I found it too hard to manage all my abilities and stuff.
Right.
And I found it really tough. I found it, like, even on casual setting, I found there were fights that were just ridiculously, brutally insane. And I downloaded some DLC a while ago. I had downloaded Mark of the Assassin, the one that starred...
Felicia Day.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That chick, the redhead.
Yep.
Who we love.
Mm-hmm.
And want to marry. All of us. But
not me.
Shut up, John.
You snob.
You're more of an Abed kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
But no, yeah, it was the Felicia Day. I mean, there was a big deal made about it, because Felicia Day started as this elven carrier, Talus, and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I was kind of like, you know, I was a little leery. I was like, okay, yeah, fine, I love Felicia Day, but, you know? You know, is the guild-style humor really well-suited to Dragon Age kind of thing, was my thought, right?
Right.
And I watched the first few episodes of the web series, and again, it was kind of like, it's okay, but, you know. So, I kind of let it sit on the hard drive for a while. Then I heard about this patch. And I was like, okay, I'm going to fire it up. I fired it up. I turned on auto attack. As soon as I fired up the game, I went into the options. I was like, whoa! You know, saw it and clicked it on, and I was like, oh my god, it feels like Origins again.
Nice.
And that's exactly what it was. It felt like I was playing Dragon Age Origins again. I was so happy.
I'm definitely going to pick it up, man. It's like $20 now. It's like, I even had it in my hand today.
And with the auto attack turned on, it's...
Yeah.
I was ecstatic.
Yeah. You know why you should buy it? Nobody, none of our listeners are going to be able to hear this.
He probably hasn't even seen that trailer.
Oh.
What trailer?
The first trailer.
What's the guy's name? Hawk? Yeah. Dips his two fingers into the blood of a fallen enemy and draws like war paint across
his face. Draws a single stripe across his nose as he's running in with his funky staff.
Wow.
To fight Kunari Akatosh.
Okay.
And it's the most badass thing
ever. Arashok, sorry.
It's like, it's so awesome. Like, the only thing that would have been more hardcore is if he wrote die on his chest.
But yeah, it's... Dragon Age 2, man. Like, I said it before in the podcast talking about it. You know, I raved plenty about how they handle the storytelling. It's not your typical fantasy RPG. It's not, you know, you're the hero of destiny out to save the world. It's more, it's about character interactions.
Yeah.
It's about how you interact with the other members of your party and stuff. And it was handled extremely well. It was very mature storytelling. And it was very risky for an RPG. Like, it was totally atypical. And to me, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked brilliantly. The only problem I had with Dragon Age 2 had more to do with the pacing and the combat.
Right.
You know? But... with that patch, it's awesome. It plays just like Origins again. Combat's a little easier to manage. You can get into your feats, like your abilities and stuff, a lot better, which I was really happy about. And Mark of the Assassin was freaking excellent.
Yeah.
It was really well written, really well done. Character interactions, again, were brilliant. Talus was actually a fantastic character. Really cool, really deep. She wasn't just elven assassin chick. She had like a real mystical bent to her, like a religious zealot kind of thing going on.
Okay.
That was really cool, you know. And it was a fairly long quest line. Probably took me about 3.5 or 4 hours to go through it.
Really?
And the last boss fight was amazing. And you get to see, like, regions that you never really saw in Dragon Age. You get a taste for, you know, Orlais and stuff like that. Like the...
Right, right.
The French area, style.
Yeah.
Like, the main guy you're fighting is about as pompous a French aristocrat as you're going to see.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, man, they should have got Buddy from Sahara to play him.
Is there, like, Dead Space armor?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir Isaac of Clark.
If you own Dead Space 2 and Dragon Age 2, yeah.
Actually, no, I think they actually spell Sir like in...
S-E-R.
Yeah, in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's what they always did with Dragon Age. It was always S-E-R.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what they call it. It's Sir Isaac of Clark.
Yeah, and whenever people are talking to you, it's always Messer, you know, like when they address you.
Because I do have Dead Space 2.
Dragon Age 2 was a great game too, man. For $20 especially, it's a fantastic game.
I'm going to have to pick that up.
You are. Kev just smiled when he saw a picture of Leaf.
I would like to groom her.
So yeah, Dragon Age 2. You know, I actually kind of I kind of want to go back and restart it now.
Yeah.
Because it's got the auto attack.
And also.
And the Bloodstrike, yeah. The Bloodstrike on the nose.
That's what you should start every combat. Like, you get into a fight? Yeah.
So that's, I think that's it for me.
Right on.
I do own the Dragon Age pen and paper, too. We should play that shit.
We should, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Did you guys vote on the Darksiders 2 Collector's Edition cover yet?
I did, yeah.
I haven't.
Close up of Death's face.
Good.
That's the nicest one by far.
Yeah, because in the lead right now is Modern Warrior Sandfighter.
Is this a vote on our
cover
site?
The cover art for Collector's
Edition. I linked it onto our Facebook page.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
But, yeah, it's the official Darksiders Facebook page.
Oh, one little thing I'll throw out. One thing I almost forgot with Mark of the Assassin.
Yeah.
A lot of little winks to the first game.
Oh, okay.
Like, at the party that you go to at this Orlais Count's estate.
Right.
Liliana is there, and Ben Teagan and his wife, the Isolde, or whatever
the,
it is.
Chantry girl from the first game?
Yeah, the one who ended up with the Warden in my game.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, and there's actually even references to the Warden himself and stuff. Like,
really?
Talus asks you, like, so you're from Ferelden, did you know the Grey Warden? And he says, no, I'd never met him. I'd heard he was in Lothering around the same time as the Blight, but I never met him and stuff like that. Really cool stuff like
that's
that.
That's cool, man.
Really, really cool. And I honestly hope that the rumors about Dragon Age 3 and the two main characters actually being Hawk and the Warden Commander.
Yeah.
I hope that is true. I hope that actually falls into place. Nice. That would be incredible.
That one called Hero of Kirkwall?
The Champion of Kirkwall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole game, Talus is flirting with you too. She's saying stuff like, you know, like, hey, you know, like, is there a woman behind the Champion of Kirkwall? And stuff like this, because, you know, you're the Champion of Kirkwall. It's pretty awesome. I guess we will now do the news.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
News time?
I think we should do the news.
I think so. What do you think, John?
I sure could use
a little good news
today.
Oh, God, not the Anne-Marie again.
Every week.
Every week, Batman and Anne-Marie.
Release dates. A few doozies this week. This one was mentioned before, and I know it was originally mentioned for October, but we've got a definite confirmed launch date now. Medal of Honor Warfighter drops on October 23rd.
Yep.
I think it looks really cool. First trailer was pretty awesome.
Are there beards?
There are no beards this time.
Oh.
Which was kind of disappointing. No tier 1 beards, and the development team didn't grow tier 1 beards this time either.
Well, you want to know something? We're going to grow tier 1 beards.
Anyway, just because. Just as an excuse.
Yeah.
Sorcery, the Harry Potter-styled Move game that was shown way, way back.
Which will probably justify your purchase of the Move. Look at his eyes just lit. He doesn't even know what sorcery is.
You get to use the Move thing like a wand.
Yes, I remember seeing a trailer for that years ago.
Was it E3 last year or the year before? The year before.
Yeah. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And then it disappeared.
Yeah, no, it looked actually pretty badass.
Yeah, it's coming out May 22nd, and apparently it's shaping up to be really good.
Okay.
It was delayed for a while. It was delayed almost a year, I believe.
Right.
So. I thought it was one they just, you know, it was a tech demo and they looked at it and said, we don't have a game here.
Yeah.
Kind of like they should have done with I Am Alive.
I still really want to play I Am Alive. Yeah. I do. I don't care about the mediocre reviews. It sounds like something that's right up my alley. Like Alone in the Dark, the remake of that.
Oh.
I enjoyed that game. I enjoyed it. I'm sorry. And speaking of stuff I enjoy, Steel Battalion, Heavy Armor, Giant Robots, Kinect. I don't enjoy Kinect, but anyway. June 19th for North America. And
that'll never be as cool as the ridiculous controller.
I wish you could use the controller one. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That was the coolest
controller. You remember when we used to talk about stealing a shopping cart and
making a mech cockpit?
That'd be awesome.
But it does look pretty awesome, I gotta say. And I don't remember which site I read it on, but one of the game sites, had a 2-hour hands-on at GDC earlier this week and actually said it was the best use of the Kinect they've ever seen.
Nice.
So there you go, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, we do have another bit of release news. You can put that over there. I got pretty good eyes.
I thought you were having trouble seeing all of me.
There is one other release thing,
yeah,
which is gadget related. The new iPad.
Yes.
March 16th, I think.
March 16th, yeah.
Yep.
Which is like right around the corner, yeah.
That's right, yep, of this year.
How many thousands of dollars will it cost?
I believe it's, did they say 50 or 150 more than the iPad 2?
Also, the iPad 2 is dropping in price to $400.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah. So there you have it.
I've had an iPad 2 for
month?
2 months.
Yeah. I know, it sucks.
I don't really care. I honestly don't, because if I'd waited, I wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah, that's true, man.
Kevin, don't you have a special report for us?
I do have a special report.
In lieu of Minecraft news?
In fact, I do have some Minecraft news.
Wow!
I do. But
you can demand it.
But I'm gonna lay this down for you first, this special report. Brazilian police have recruited a retired soldier to dress up as Batman and patrol crime-ridden neighborhoods.
That's either the most brilliant thing I've ever heard, or the most ridiculously stupid thing.
It's
I've
not
ever
gaming
heard.
News, but it was too awesome not to mention.
It's true, man. It's true.
I wonder if I ever meet him, I say, can I ask you a question that I would have asked the real Batman?
Go ahead. Sure.
I think that's pretty hilarious.
You're a very attractive young man.
Do you think that would work?
Somewhere a party is happening.
I mean, if you're a criminal, or a possible criminal on the street in the neighborhood.
Who doesn't know who Batman is, though?
I'd want to get my picture taken with him if it was me.
No, Batman, no, not an arm around the show. I actually want a picture of you punching me.
I don't understand. Like, how is that going to work? Even in Brazil, they got to know who Batman is.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, Batman's everywhere.
So, like, when he busts into the room and they're all like, oh, there's some guy dressed up as Batman, and then he proceeds to whip the shit out of all of them, but they're all going to be like, it was just some dude dressed as Batman.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, it was a giant bat!
That's true.
A giant freaking bat!
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, very, very ridiculous. So this week in Minecraft, I actually do have some news that I forgot about.
Sorry.
The Microsoft version is going to feature 4-player split-screen play.
Dude, it's just like Halo Night, only crappy.
Wow, I wonder what your character's going to look like on other people's screens.
Shut up.
Seriously, like, think about
it. What do you mean?
What would... Okay,
you'll appear as a creeper.
For some reason, the first time I ever played Doom,
yeah,
I thought to myself, what does your character look like?
Well, I could show you what a Minecraft character looks like.
Because
you can play in third person.
Really?
Minecraft, yeah.
What?
There's a general template of this guy with a blue shirt on, and his name is Steve. You didn't even know that.
I am the star of Minecraft.
And what people
do
is
play... Steve from Blue's Clues.
You shut up.
I think it's Stevie, actually. But the people
don't ever call me Stevie.
No, I won't. Don't worry. Can I call you Stevesy?
No.
Like
doesn't your mom call you Stevie?
No. Someone calls me Stevie. Karen calls me Stevie.
Oh, she does, yeah.
My sister-in-law calls me Stevie.
There's a template. And guys who play the PC, you can install it. You can make your own skins. And you can be, man, you can be anybody you want to be.
You
as long
can
as you can
Nukem.
Yeah.
You can be
people
Batman.
Make skins. I've seen people dressed up as creepers, as creepers wearing tuxedos, you know, lots of different things.
I'm Batman, I make mines.
Yeah. I saw a Batman skin one time.
Just that one
when
time.
I woke up.
Probably, man. Probably.
Somewhere there is a crime happening.
Well,
you gotta walk slow.
You know, so anyway, four split screen multiplayer. It's very exciting to me.
It is kind of exciting. I always thought, what did a Minecraft character look like? Same thing I thought when I first played Modu. And then I saw Chuck, and I was like, whoa, it's a Space Marine! And then I proceeded to shoot him. And it was the coolest thing ever.
You didn't say, whoa, it's Doom Guy?
Wow! That is ugly.
Well, dude, it's Minecraft,
he has a goatee.
Man.
He is me.
Yeah, he has a goatee.
He looks like he's hit the tanning booth.
That's what Steve looks like.
After he hits the tanning booth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you can get
dude,
those
he looks
in the
better
shop.
Than Max Payne.
He's there about he as blocky as Max Payne. That's pretty, pretty intense.
Yep.
So is that all for Minecraft news?
That's all for Minecraft news, man, but it's pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting.
In shocking news...
I was surprised.
I was very surprised. Peter Molyneux, did I pronounce that right?
Sure.
Yeah, Peter Molyneux.
Close enough.
Has left Microsoft and Lionhead Studios.
Man, oh man.
The company he created.
Isn't he going to finish...
Fable Connect,
yeah. Whatever it is.
Yes, he said he's going to finish it. And Larry, We're sorry.
Yeah, like, I know Larry was a huge Fable fan, so... The only thing I'm
I was kind of wondering, you know, he was going to say he left Microsoft, and someone from Microsoft is going to have to come out and say that he was...
No, he didn't.
He was...
He's full of crap,
as usual.
But no,
It'll take him 6 years to leave.
Well, I'm surprised, number one, because he was the man at Lionhead. You know, he
started Lionhead to make Fable.
And number two, he was Microsoft's head of European, like, the game studios.
This, to me, is almost as crazy as when PETA left Microsoft a few years ago. PETA Moore?
Oh, yeah. And
you guys forgot PETA Moore there for a second.
Well,
didn't you?
No, well, I thought you
said PETA, and then I was like, the prevention ethical treatment of animals.
You remember, I should lift the sleeve and show my Grand Theft Auto tattoo.
Well, I think Moore's shtick was always, you know, Moore is always a good guy to have in your corner when you're launching a system.
Yeah.
But once the system is out there and you got your few platinum titles, he kind of goes on his merry way.
Yeah.
I think when
did he end up after?
EA. He's still with EA. But now he's the head of EA's general operations, I think, now. He's not, like, just EA Sports anymore. Which is pretty cool. Good on PETA Moore, you know? But, yeah, Molyneux, I was a little shocked. And the only, like, in one regard, with him gone, with him out of the picture... I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Fable.
Mm.
You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, without Molyneux's endlessly ambitious imagination, maybe the guys could look at what they have, focus more tightly on it, and really...
make a decent game.
Well, no, it's not... I can't even say that, because Fable 2 and 3 were decent games.
Gears of Fable, dude. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, no.
Gears of
no,
Fable.
No. Maybe go a little bit darker, a little bit more gothic styled.
Throw some bloom lighting into it.
So throw some bloom. I'd be happy. No, there's already lots of bloom in Fable.
Oh, is it?
Fable's got that mystical fantasy.
Okay, get rid of the colors. Brown. Yeah.
Brown.
All about the browns.
All about the monochrome brown.
Throw in some Coltrane.
Coltrane. But no, I enjoyed Fable 2 and Fable 3. Fable 3 especially. Fable 3 was a great game. And the original Fable was a classic. One of the best games on the Xbox. But, okay, that's awesome. There's an Altair skin for Minecraft.
Sorry, guys. I'm looking at Minecraft skins for those of you in the ether.
But, yeah, I'm kind of shocked to see Molyneux go.
Yeah, that's really crazy news.
But man. I am definitely, again, like I said, I'm looking forward to what they do with Fable. I'm thinking that maybe someone who worked on the game may take a leadership role on it.
Could be.
Really turn it into something great. You never know. Because, like I said, Molyneux is... You know, sometimes he could be a bit of a horse's ass.
Braggadocious.
A little braggadocious. Speaking of development teams and getting limbed, Rainbow Six Patriots has lost its core dev team. Rumors persist that the game was too dark for Ubisoft. Expect a 1 year delay before My Little Rainbow Six reappears.
Patriotism is magic.
Yeah, anybody who's seen the first like trailer and a bit on Rainbow Six knows that it's pretty dark. You know, the trailer is pretty disturbing. It's pretty disturbing stuff. You know, guy at a house at his son's birthday party. His wife and son get kidnapped. A bunch of terrorists grab him, slap a bomb vest on him. And next thing you know, you see him on the Brooklyn Bridge. And Rainbow Six are there with their guns all pointed at him. You know, the six team. And he's like, they got my wife and son, blah, 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 blah. But he's like, okay, we'll try to help you. And then the bomb starts to flash like it's going to go off. And what did they do? They kick him over the bridge.
Crazy.
So he doesn't take everybody out kind of thing, right? So, like, it was pretty dark. It was pretty intense. And they say that's, like, the big plan is to go intense with it, right?
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, too intense for Ubisoft? I mean, you are talking about an M-rated anti-terrorist shooter here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not talking about, you know, like... We're not talking about gumdrops and unicorns that fart
rainbows. Plus, this is... Okay, Ubisoft are... Obviously, the guys want Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
A game that gave you the option of, in the third title, when you get to the guy you're supposed to rescue and find that he's dead, the game gave you the complete option to sneak back through the entire level and viciously knife murder every terrorist responsible for
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, a studio responsible for Sam Fisher complaining that something is too dark.
It's pretty strange, I will say. It is definitely
a man made of Johnny Cash and death.
So I'm hoping they don't gut the game too much. But apparently they fired the lead, like a few of the core leads. reassigned people and stuff like that. So, I don't know, it's weird. It's strange to see. Now, on the other hand, maybe it's just a classic example of Ubisoft mismanagement lately. The whole, I mean, look at what happened with Splinter Cell Conviction. How the game was, like, virtually done, and they realized they didn't have much of a game there, so they went back to square one.
Hmm.
And now with the...
Back to formula?
Back to formula. And then, of course, they did the same thing with the new Ghost Recon, with Future Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
That was delayed over a year.
Give it to Miyamoto, flip.
Yeah, basically went in and flipped the table.
Hmm.
So, I know, you know, maybe that's the... Maybe it's a case of just Patriots wasn't shaping up, so they, you know, took drastic steps. But either way, there you go.
Yeah. So, four games have been outed by Amazon.UK for the PS Vita.
Vita!
You guys...
Schneider. Yeah, I see him.
All right. You've done it. Grand Theft Auto, Vice City Nights.
Woo!
Which I'm very excited about.
And Marie Batman.
Vice City were the best Grand Theft Auto, if you ask me. Final Fantasy Type-0, which was apparently awesome for the PSP in Japan.
They say it's the last great PSP game.
Okay. Monster Hunter 3.
Woo!
Yes.
On a system we might actually play it on.
Yeah. And some other JRPG.
That's some Land of Illusion.
Who knows?
No, it's one of the Tales games.
Tales of Illusion?
Yeah.
Something like that. Was it Tales of Illusion?
Yes, it was one of the Tales of games.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Lord of Illusion?
Oh! I have such wonderful things to show you. All you have to do is beg.
So, Steve, you might actually... these looks like good games for you, man.
I said my rule on the Vita was once there were five or six games out there that I want to play, then I would take the plunge.
Yeah.
That'll pretty much bring the tally up to five or six games.
Yep, looks that way.
That was a pretty impressive window right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what they're officially going to...
Well, yeah, I mean, none of this was even official. This was all leaked.
Because they're supposed to do that... When are they supposed to do...
March 9th, I think? That's today, isn't it? Tomorrow? Tomorrow.
It's pretty soon, anyway. We talked about it last time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's March 9th.
Okay.
So it'll be over by the time you guys listen to this, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the deets will be up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Quantic Dream, developers of Indigo Prophecy and the amazing...
A.K.A. Fahrenheit.
Yeah, A.K.A. Mm-hmm. Fahrenheit, and you snob, and the amazing Heavy Rain, have shown off Kara, one of the most disturbing and captivating things we have ever seen. Please, pretty, pretty please with gumdrops and... unicorns and all that awesome stuff.
Rainbows and buttercups.
Please actually make a game out of this. This 7-minute long video had just about everything I love about science fiction in the boiled down.
That was one intense video. Yeah.
I was biting my knuckle at the end.
An emotional sucker punch, man. And like myself and Sarah watched it, and we didn't see it coming, you know, like, because I'd seen a headline that said, you know, David Gage's new video is the talk of GDC,
I remember how intense the casting was.
Yeah.
Towards the end of that.
Yeah. The casting was great.
Yeah.
It was
really great. One just trumps it completely.
Yeah, and I mean, the casting, what was in the casting didn't really appear in Heavy Rain. But thematically, it was pretty similar.
Yeah.
And I can only hope that Kara is kind of a launching point for this game. Like, you know...
I could see her as the protagonist, man.
Just, you know,
imagine AI if the main character wasn't annoying.
If the main character wasn't Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it looked so freaking stark and so... But, again, it wasn't even about the technology. Like, people see this clip... And it looks every bit as good as any CG that's out there. You know, like it looks as good as what Tintin looked.
Close your eyes.
Tintin was beautiful.
Close your eyes. Watch it once to see the pretties.
Yeah.
Then when you watch it again, close your eyes and listen to her voice.
But no, that's the thing. Like, you're watching it and you feel like after about 30 or 45 seconds, you're watching a CG film.
Yeah.
You know, you're not watching... You're watching live action. You're watching a movie. You're watching a narrative. And then at the end of it, when the credits come up and it shows, like, right there, plain as day in text, generated in real time on the PlayStation 3. You think about that for a second, and it's just kind of like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow.
And, of course, you know, the forum boards are already alight with, you know, typical Sony bullshit, a game that's overhyped and is going to underperform.
Yes, because Heavy Rain was so overhyped.
Yeah.
You know? Heavy Rain was still, people in certain circles knew about it. But it's still, when it shipped, it was still pretty under the radar.
When we talk about Quantic Dream, we're not talking about... These are art house games, you know?
Yeah.
You're not talking about...
Naughty Dog.
Yeah, these aren't supposed to be multi-million selling monsters.
This is not Naughty Dog or the latest God of War sequel.
Yeah.
In other European, I guess. I think,
now the Dead Space.
Dust514, created by Icelandic company CCP. Yo, Jeff, what's up, man? I know you don't listen, but hey. Has announced that Dust514 has become a free-to-play, massively multiplayer online first-person shooter. Rather than, you know, an initial cost of $20 or $25 to download it, it'll be free-to-play. With a store with hundreds of items and stuff up and running at the get-go. It's still tied seamlessly into EVE Online, so, you know, EVE Online players interact with Dust514 players and stuff in extremely cool fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also announced, and this is pretty awesome, because myself and Jeff had this conversation probably about 3 or 4 months ago. And he was actually at the office playing, beta playing Dust514 on Test PS series with a bunch of co-workers. And he was talking about how, like, he was just like, Steve, man, you gotta try this, it's awesome, it's a great game, I can't wait to play the final version, blah, 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 blah. You know, we were just having a yarn. And he said, right now, I'm sitting down with one of the coders, and we're trying to figure out how to get mouse and keyboard working. Because Jeff is a PC player.
Right.
And, I said to Jeff, in our MSN conversation, I said, do you realize that if you guys did put mouse and keyboard support in there, you would be heroes? People like all the EVE players who are bitching about you in the forums right now would be on board because they'd have their mouse and they'd have their trusty mouse and keyboard. And people who play consoles but don't really play first-person shooters because they can't handle the controls would have the mouse and keyboard. You'd be heroes. You'd be giving people the option, you know. And he basically turned to the guy next to him and read out what I said.
Wow.
So I don't say that had any bearing on it in the end, but either way, it's still pretty cool. You know, it's still pretty cool to see that. Yeah, mouse and keyboard is official. It's in there, which leads to the next thing. PC guys, mouse and keyboard support is in there. Okay. PlayStation 3 exclusive?
No.
I don't think so. CCP knows what side of the bread is buttered, you know? they're not complete idiots.
So, fans are pissed off at BioWare for using stock image as Tali's face.
In Mass Effect 3. Yeah.
Huh. I'm not saying what you wrote down there, Steve, because that's pretty gross. In other news regarding faces. That's gross, man. I can't believe you're going to get me to say that.
In other facial.
No. We don't need... Okay. So, fans are also pissed off. Because they can't import their Mass Effect 1 character.
I always say I was perturbed.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was perturbed when I first tried it. And like I said earlier, I started over twice.
Right, right.
And as for the whole Tali thing, if that's how she actually looks underneath that crazy semi-transparent gas mask, she's pretty fucking hot.
So, the stock footage, it's like...
It came from Getty Images.
Right.
Which is basically anybody with a Getty Images account has already paid for use of any of the stock footage.
Yeah.
You know, so...
How is it in the game?
It is on a picture, like in a picture frame on Shepard's desk.
And we know it's her?
According to developers, it's her.
Oh, okay.
So... And she's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah,
she's very, very cool.
I'm sorry, I just... A picture meant...
They took a piece of stock footage, they made her eyes glowy, made her, like... gaseous kind of looking and like changed the tint of it all.
But I'm picturing like that gorgeous face with weird feet Tali has.
I think they missed an opportunity to put one of their female, you know, staff or game designers into the game. Isn't that what it usually these companies do?
Well said. That's actually, you know, that's, I never thought of it that way.
That's what a lot of companies, how do you see that all the time, right?
How do you know that one of the female staff members didn't look at Getty Images one day and say, hey, that's me?
Well, you never know.
It's true, man. It's true.
But I mean, either way, you know, like, as far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, it's making a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah.
People are saying, oh, they missed an opportunity and it wasn't respectful to the fans and blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, boys, they probably just wanted a really nice, exotic looking woman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are they going to make Tali look like?
A lizard.
Yeah, okay.
Who knows? A Gorn. Oh, no. I recently saw a photo, behind-the-scenes photo of Gorn without his, like, vest on.
What are we talking about?
From the original Star Trek. You know, that episode with the Gorn?
The alligator man, the Kevin Kirk hammer punches?
Man, it's notorious for just bad fight choreography.
I think this is the one where Bowling for Bad Guys comes from.
Anyway, he's got all of these like holes in the outfit underneath the vest for like breathability for air and stuff like that.
Did they get the vest from Getty Images?
No, I doubt it.
That's a lack of respect for the fans, Star Trek.
Yeah, really. So, you know, what else is new? Fans are not pissed about something, then they're not really fans, are they?
Yeah, I guess so.
In other nerd rage news, fans are mad at Capcom for including a year's worth of DLC for Street Fighter X Tekken on the fucking disc.
Way to go.
Bravo. Fucking
what?
Bo.
You didn't think people were going to notice.
You morons.
It's called DLC.
Not unlockable DLC.
Okay. I've been waiting for Street Fighter X Tekken, Cross Tekken, Hot Cross Buns for a year now. I spent $69.99 plus tax on the special edition that comes with nothing more than a ugly piggy bank.
A cardboard piggy bank.
And find out that there's 12 additional characters. And not crappy characters, no joke characters. It's like six awesome Street Fighter and six awesome Tekken characters.
On the disc.
On the disc.
Sitting right there.
That they're going to ask me to pay more money for. I almost didn't buy the game when I found out Brian Fury wasn't in it.
Shame on you, Capcom. Shame
and now I find out he's there, but I have to pay $2.99 extra for him later, or however much.
Eventually.
More. Yeah, eventually.
And you guarantee that's what they're going to do. They're going to release it and trickle down. They're not going to put everything on at once.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
They're going to do it like the costume packs from Street Fighter 4. You know, instead of downloading all the extra costumes at once, it's going to be, you know, 1 month you're going to get, they'll call, you know, the World Warrior Pack or the Iron Fist
Release
Pack.
Release two or three guys at a time for $4.
Yeah.
It's retarded.
It's greed is what it is.
It is nickel and dime,
it's
people.
It's Gordon Gekko shit.
And on top of that, did you hear about the quick combos?
Yeah, I told you when you're customizing the controller earlier tonight to turn them off.
But they found a number of quick combos on the disc as well.
Yeah.
With little shopping cart icons by them.
Which is ridiculous,
quick
man.
Combos.
Yeah.
DLC quick combos.
You don't pay for combos, man.
And, like, what I remember is Ono from Capcom.
Yoshinori Ono.
You know, who seems like a, you know, a generally jovial and okay guy.
Seems to really enjoy what he does.
Yeah, seems to really enjoy what he does. You know, I laughed when I saw the picture of him as E. Honda in the background one stage. Ono-chan.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying that out of respect for the fans, they weren't going to pull a Super Street Fighter 4 or a Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. It was going to be Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and then they were going to turn the stage over to Namco.
Yeah.
To do their game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Capcom likes cash money.
Yeah.
And Capcom has all of these blindly devoted fans who don't give a shit how much abuse they take because they're idiots. Kind of like a certain other big game company from Japan that starts with an N.
Well, you haven't hated on them for a while.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a distinct lack of respect.
Yeah.
Is what it is for the people who made them what they are.
Yeah.
You know, Street Fighter.
And Capcom fans are the most. Probably the most blindly loyal out there.
Oh,
for a third-party developer?
Heaven forbid you ever say anything negative about a Mega Man game or a Street Fighter game in certain company. You know, it's just it's like insulting Mario in certain company, you know?
Yeah. And, like, this is, well, I mean, you guys heard me earlier, right, like, after my initial disappointment, raving about Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
It's an awesome game.
It's a great fighting game.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend an extra $20 downloading characters that are on the fucking disc.
Exactly, yeah. And this is the problem. This is where the problem comes in. Okay,
this is when it becomes that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and then the excuse they gave for it had something to do with compatibility between the PS3 version and the PS Vita version. And I'm just like, okay, number one, the Vita version is not even out yet. And doesn't come out apparently till the fall. And number two, it's not like we're going to be playing against PS Vita users using our PS3, is it?
And here, this is... I got the case right here in my hand. Exclusive content only on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Includes Cole, Mega Man, and Pac-Man.
Okay.
Right?
Mega Man and Pac-Man are coming to Xbox.
Come to Xbox. No, they're on the disc. They're on the...
paid DLC.
As paid DLC, but they're on the disc.
Yeah, they're on the Xbox disc.
So Xbox 360 owners can be even more mad.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, I'm never going to play as Mega Man or Pac-Man.
No.
Not when, you know, the King of Paul Phoenix is there.
It is crap.
Yeah. It's... How does Will Smith say it? Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
It's... That's...
Oh, hell no.
So much garbage, guys. So much garbage. Especially, I saw that list of characters, and I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I found that they're on the disc.
Which is horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. Deplorable, even.
Yeah.
And, Capcom, this is a new feature that I just introduced right on the fly. You're our jackass of the week.
they're a trip D.
Yeah.
So you're our double-decker doucher of the week.
You're the focus of our hate for this week. John, didn't you say something about a...
ambush!
Pew-pew! Pew-pew! They're in the trees!
I'm going to apologize. I didn't put a whole ton of thought into this. I just thought it might be a bit of fun when we were looking up news earlier.
Okay.
You guys hear about Diabolical Pitch?
No.
No.
Okay. Somebody... I liked Shadows of the Damned. I enjoyed that game.
I did too.
I still don't understand why they keep giving money to Suda51.
I really don't.
But apparently he's making a... he's making a Kinect game.
Oh, good lord.
It's baseball. See through the... skewed heroin addict eyes of Suda51.
Oh, okay, I'm checking out now.
Yeah, so, fellas, take a sport that you... I don't watch baseball.
Okay.
Take a sport that you don't watch and make it awesome.
Okay. I'm gonna need a minute on this one.
Alright, I'll give you mine.
Alright.
You guys remember Super Nintendo game, launch title, I think, Bill Laimbeer's
Combat Basketball?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, God.
I present to you Adam Jensen's Combat Basketball.
You could use cloaking to move down the field.
Yeah, and there's stealth takedowns. You know, free point throw. I didn't ask for this.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah, I'd be into that. Okay, I got one for you.
Go ahead.
Badminton with grenades.
Oh, man, you can even have like power-ups like sticky grenades.
Just sticking the other rackets. You know, like when you got a shitty racket and the badminton birdie gets stuck in it?
Yeah.
Only this time, instead of having to spend 5 minutes picking the birdie or the shuttlecock or whatever it was.
You said it, man.
Badminton's gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But instead of spending 5 minutes pulling it out of the racket like you used to do in junior high school when your gym teacher got lazy and made you play badminton. Now it explodes.
I liked badminton.
I bet you loved soccer baseball.
Oh, no, I never played that. It's got to be a Kinect game, though.
Well, Diabolical Pitch is a Kinect game.
Oh, yeah? Or a move game.
Now, Adam Jensen's Combat Basketball. I mean, it could be Combat, but what would Adam Jensen's be called?
I don't know, man.
Adam Jensen's Revolutionary Basketball.
Revolutionary Basketball. This foul will change you. You can't see the fourth quarter. No, it's not the fourth quarter yet. But you can see it from here.
Do they use quarters in basketball?
Yes, they use quarters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four quarters.
Yeah. Right? I asked LeBron to change a dollar, but he only had three quarters.
Ouch. Nasty. Very nasty.
Do You got one yet, Steve?
Okay. Picture rugby.
Yeah.
And soccer. Kind of combined.
Australian rules football.
Exactly. Yeah. We could call it Aussie rules because they all play like savages.
Oh my god, but they could be like what I see Australia as with Mad Max.
In cars.
In cars?
Yeah.
Mad Max Aussie cars?
Rules soccer. In cars.
In Mad Max cars?
Well, yeah, it could be post-apocalyptic, I guess.
So, would the drivers hold the ball, or would the ball be huge and you have to knock it
around? No,
you'd be like top gear soccer.
No. You have two guys in a car. You have the driver and the ball carrier on the passenger side.
Hanging out the window.
Man, he'd be sitting on the roof with it.
Yeah.
Well, different seats for different cars.
Right.
Like, these all be like scrap heap bodge jobs.
Fallout Vault 13 rules rugby.
You could call the team the Tunnel Snakes.
Totally.
You got to keep passing the mutant head back.
Yeah.
Can't pass it forward. That's an illegal play. You got to keep passing it back.
Okay, and the referee'd have to be that awesome sniper from New Vegas, the Knights
the Ranger,
the buddy whose wife gets killed off, and you. I think he was called the Night Sniper, wasn't he?
I can't remember. The guy up in the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He was an SAS guy or something. He had the red cap.
Yeah.
Or that robot from the first place you're in. He keeps following you around.
Sheriff.
Yeah, the sheriff.
Yeah.
Or the...
sheriff.
What was the mission out of Fallout 3?
You could make him the sheriff.
Yeah.
The replicated man. He could be a referee. You could have a super mutant referee with a laser Gatling gun.
There you go. He was sighing in half with his...
Foul!
No, I don't know.
You have to use Vets when it's time to score.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
Captain Price's Pub Darts.
Sure, it's a super meter. He throws a dart down, takes off his mustache and throws it.
Captain Price's Pub Darts.
I just started.
No, man. Captain Price is a Brit, so what would it be? You get this big glass of ale. Yeah. This big mug of old freaking.
It'd be like Irish Pub Darts. Like, you know, darts originated in Ireland with guys like throwing an axe or throwing swords at a big piece of wood.
You get Captain Price shouting at you. Come on, soap! You can do it! While you're trying to throw darts drunk. And have it connect. Connect power.
The loading screen's got to be all Irish folk tales.
I like it.
That was a horrible ambush topic.
How did you ever get past selection, soap? No.
No, that was
just no.
Pay the extra money and actually get Lemmy to voice him.
No, stop. It has to end. I got nothing.
You already gave us two games. And the post-apocalyptic Australian rules football is awesome.
Yep. How about Street Fighter Hockey?
Street Fighter Hockey.
Play as your favorite world warrior.
I think that's cool.
Round one, fight! Period one!
I just want to watch two hockey teams going at it while the Chun Li music played.
When it goes to overtime, it's got to be Guile's team. Guile's team goes with everything.
Overtime shootout.
It starts playing like the super heroic arcade version of it too when Buddy comes in for the triple deke. I gotta ruin Larry's life now and splice it in to save the kid footage. Last time he got concussed.
That's my favorite. I think that's the best one, actually.
Street Fighter Hockey?
Street Fighter Hockey.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Game over!
I mean, they keep throwing Mario into various sports.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that with other game
mascots? There's no Capcom that only put three teams on the... No, you have three teams right from the start, and the rest of the league would be
on the disc.
DLC on the disc.
Oh, I think that's a good point.
That's a very good point. Okay, so maybe Mortal Kombat Hockey.
Yep.
Finish him. No, Mortal Kombat field hockey.
Mortal Kombat polo.
Mortal Kombat lacrosse.
No, just no.
Okay,
police brutality coming up.
The Elder Scrolls Polo.
There'll only be two teams:
Imperial, Stormcloak, and the
The fate of Skyrim will be decided on the horse, on the field, with a hammer and a ball. Force Roda!
Every time we score a goal, they have to do the level up music.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Nice. I think we should sign off there. That's,
yeah, okay. That's plenty. I could keep going all night with this crap.
We should have ended it on the game over.
So, there you have it. Sports games made awesome by us. Because we love you.
Hockey.
And if you have any ideas for sports games that could be bettered by video game characters, throw it up on the Facebook page.
Yes, hit the Facebook page. Or go to DVDverted.com. And check out the forums. There's a little blast processing section there. And
mm-hmm.
There's like two people who post there all the time.
Nice.
Yeah. We're in the Twitter sphere now, too.
We are in the Twitter sphere. You can follow us at BProcessing. Not the B, not B-E-E, just, you know, the letter B, Processing.
Like a rapper, B.
BProcessing, yo, West Side. So, yeah, there you go. There's all kinds of ways you can follow us. There's all kinds of ways you can communicate with us. You can make yourself heard. We may choose to ignore you. We may acknowledge your existence. That remains to be seen. Depends on what you're
saying. How do they do that with Larry?
You only acknowledge his existence?
No, when he says stuff like, I have no interest, when I post up game news, I just delete the comment.
Yes, Larry, because we posted this specifically for you to gauge your interest.
We didn't mention my brother this episode. We always do.
You can hop on our Blast Processing page and talk to Joe Woe.
Yep.
Joe Woe's out there, and he's only getting stronger.
He is, man.
We're actually going to start a Joe Woe fan page next.
All right. He's got one.
Yeah, his Facebook page.
He's or
is it a human's concern for the safety of Joe Orge's soul?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it, yeah. I haven't been on it in ages.
I don't think it's still updated.
Probably not, yeah.
No, I think it's gone.
Oh, well.
But it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So there you go. Joe Woe's got his own Facebook page, too, if you want to follow Joe Woe. I know most of you already follow Joe Woe, so it's all good.
It's cool, man.
Until next time. If there's anything we want you to take away from this episode, it is this.
Rex. Shepard. Rex. Shepard. Rex. Shepard.